Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retro Rewatch. I'm Jeff Gamet, and Patrice Rendemoor is here, of course, because we always do Retro Rewatch. It wouldn't be right to do the show without us because Patrice has seen the shows and I have not, or more accurately, she's seen the shows multiple times. This is my first viewing.
Yeah.
And it would completely kill the premise of the show if we weren't here.
Yeah, or you could say, I've watched it in the past, and you've watched it in the present.
That's true, too. We are doing non-linear group viewing.
Okay.
So, yes, we're still doing Stargate SG-1, and we're in Season 3, and this is Episode 11, I believe?
It is.
I think so. And this one is called Past and Present.
Yes, as I just said. You didn't.
As you just said.
I think you didn't catch that joke.
Oh, holy forking shirt balls. I just got it. Oh, my God, Patrice. I'm so slow. Oh, I'd say at least I can get by in life on my looks, but, well, I'm kind of screwed.
It's been a week, God. So that's fine. But good, we're here to do therapy, so it's all fine.
Yeah, Patrice, I'm going to blame the fact that I spent a good portion of today out tending a friend's vegetable garden, and the garden is doing very well, but lots of pollen and stuff, and I have lots of allergies, so... Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay, and what's my excuse?
Your excuse is that you're so clever that sometimes even you have to catch up with yourself.
Oh, okay. Let's go with that. I'll take that.
I've just been out in the sun and breathing in all the pollen and
since you're in Colorado, other stuff.
I'm kind of dumb. So, but anyhow, I mean, there's no point in even trying to argue it. It's just a thing. Yep. Anyhow, so past and present, and yes, I still feel stupid for not getting the joke until you had to point it out to me because it was clever and funny. And so you typically have you always have the interesting details about the episode before we dive into it.
Sure, I do. And I have a ton of them, as always. So, let's start with the usual. Air date, October 15th, 1999 in the US, John Show time, and October 11th, 2000 in Germany on RTL2. IMDb rating? We're up again a little bit, not by a lot, but by a little, snap by snap, we're inching up again, 7.6 out of 10. So, nice rating. I think we'd mentioned that at the end of last episode, or I did mention it, written by Tor Alexander Valenza. We know him quite well, him or her, I don't know, I guess it's a him.
Them, close enough.
Whatever. And William Garrity as director. As also known quantities, both of them. We do have, let's say, five guest stars. Hope I can count. 4 to 5. We have Megan Leitch, I don't know. Whatever, I'm bad with names. Kira, that's her name. She is actually best known for playing Samantha Mulder, Fox Mulder's sister, on The X-Files from 1995 to 1999. So, there's that. We have...
That's cool. I have a question about her.
Okay, shoot.
Is her hair really that bad? Or is she wearing a crappy wig? Like, seriously.
I'll answer that question in a minute.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I have some details about that.
Like, it was distracting looking at her hair. Not in a good way.
No. Jason Gray Stanford plays Orner. Stanford, I don't know. I'm all over the place today. He became later famous for playing Lieutenant Randy Disher on, don't know if you recognized him, on the USA Network's Monk, like from 2002
I probably
onwards.
Would have recognized him if I had ever watched Monk.
Okay, I did love Monk, so I did, of course, know him. We have Murray Delver as Lyell, known for numerous Vancouver film, TV shows, and whatever. Like the usual, there's always people around that they can cast. We have Maria Luisa Ciani as the woman, just never gets a name. So, woman. And
but presumably has a speaking line.
Yeah, that's why she gets credit. And, okay. Well, the fifth person, you know. Our favorite doctor.
Dr. Frazier.
Yes. Yeah. So good to see her again. German title. Not a lot of spoiler. It's Vergangenheit und Gegenwart, past and present. So for some reason, anything time related, Germans, they're like, oh, we don't need to spoil anything. It's weird.
Okay. I was expecting you to tell me something like Linnea's Revenge or something like that.
Nope, not in this case. The episode. We saw it along. This is a follow up to the season two episode Prisoners, kind of the consequences from what happened back then. The whole Vorlix concept was designed to explore themes of identity, memory, and redemption, which quite interesting. So that was a deliberate, of course, thing. I forgot to mention that Jason Gray Stanford's like very earnest, very emotional performance kind of showcased the range that he had, the dramatic range as well, and that led to or was one. Contributing factor, at least, to him becoming getting the role of Monk later on. So,
cool,
quite interesting. The episode required quite a lot of makeup work, of course, right? For all the changes, and the industrial planet setting required quite a few new set pieces to have kind of this believable early stage industrial revolution, industrial alien civilization vibe. So. Not cheap, probably. Said.
I assumed that they just found some warehouse. Set some props in it.
Yeah, but I mean, even the props, someone has to create. Find the location, create props.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair.
As far as I know, they didn't. It was actually all set. This was all shot at the Bridge Studios in Vancouver.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I mean, what is a studio space? It's a big warehouse. It's not that different.
Right.
Yeah. I have some stuff for later.
Related to that?
Mm-hmm.
I was having a problem with the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a line, and I know I'm jumping way ahead because we haven't even gotten to the beginning yet.
We haven't.
But there were the two things, there's probably more as we get into it and I'll realize, but there were the two things that were killing me, like the really bad hairdo for Kira and the Industrial Revolution planet where they say all industry has stopped,
Yes.
But they have dirigibles flying around and there's smoke coming out of smokestacks and it sure looks like a working place to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I noticed that too, and I'm like, okay.
So.
Fine. No.
All right.
It's just a mistake. Should we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. So, we get our teaser, and we start off in the warehouse space, and the Stargate in the warehouse opens up, and then SG-1 comes through, and the team comments on how it looks like just like a storage place and not like like an embarkation room.
Yeah.
I think Sam even says it looks like they're not even using the DHD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know who says it. It's like, looks like, I think it might be Jack again. He says, like, looks like these folks don't do a lot of traveling.
That sounds like very much a Jack line to me. Yeah. And so some people open up the door to come into the space that they're in. Mm-hmm. And SG-1's like, oh, time to make ourselves invisible.
Yeah, yeah. And they're arguing.
Some boxes.
Like, it's very clear those two are probably like a couple or something because they're arguing quite a lot while they're coming in.
Oh, yeah, the bickering couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I assume that watching what appears to be a bickering couple tells Jack we don't need to worry about these people.
Yeah, this is so not a military. Like,
surprise, here we are.
This is not a, like a guard or like a military group of some sort or anything like that.
No, it's like a bickering couple.
Mm-hmm.
And
and
excuse me. So Jack wants to talk to the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And
he introduces everybody.
But they do the introductions. Yeah. And we get our first Teal'c joke.
Yes.
Of the episode.
Yeah.
Like, who gave you a name like Teal'c?
Uh-huh.
And which then the response gives us a setup for the episode.
Yeah.
Teal'c says, well, it's from my father. It means I'm strong.
No. He says, it was given by my father. It means strength.
I was so close.
Very close.
Very close.
Yeah.
And so the bickering couple's like, whoa. You remember your dad?
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out that there's a mass amnesia event that occurred on this planet, and they call it the Vorlix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that word sticks out of my head. But
it's like Neelix.
Vorlix. It's like Neelix, but you can't remember.
It's Vorlix.
Yeah. It's the opposite of Neelix, because with Neelix, you can't forget.
It's like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, okay, to be fair, Patrice, you might want to forget.
Yeah, that's a different
but
story.
You can't. Yeah. And like so now we've established none of the people know who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And
so that's it. Like, this is the
and
setup.
I think that's it for the intro. Yeah,
that's the intro. It's like, oh, you remember things. We don't. What happened?
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
again, not the strongest. I mean, it's quite interesting in a way and quite funny in the new location or whatever. It's not still not the very strong. Like, it's not the hook is not super intriguing. It's like, oh, okay, they don't remember anything. It's like, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it could be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so where the teaser ends.
Mm-hmm.
It has me hoping that when we come back after the credits, that we find out that there's some real deep intrigue about this amnesia, and it becomes something like, now we have a countdown and we have to figure out.
I was kind of hoping that there would be something about, did we get infected or something like that. Which they indirectly address right after the intro, but it's never really asked before. Like, that would have been more interesting to say, oh shit, did we just get infected by this and now we're going to lose our memories?
You know what? Yes. Yes, that would have been much more interesting.
Yeah.
So,
also not for the direction goes at the end, but yeah.
Right, but still, that would have been, I think, a much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we come back from the teaser or from the trailer,
yeah,
intro. The teaser. Wow,
the intro. The intro.
We come back from the intro. Oh, holy crap, Patrice. I think part of the problem I'm having with getting the right word out is what happens next for me was really meh. And I'm pretty sure what we get is exposition about what the Neelix is. Oh, now look what you've done. That's it. I'm not even going to try the Neelix.
The Neelix. Okay, let's do that. Kind of, yes. Kind of. There are some interesting bits. Like, but the first thing that happens is that Carter has checked the environment and they're okay. Like, directly referencing what I just meant, like, that would have been more interesting. Maybe there was a deleted scene where they wanted to, like, insinuate that, you know, it could be something going on, and then this gets resolved here, but we just get a resolution, but not the hook in the question.
Yeah, you know, this could have been, like, they could have done an A-B story with this. Mm. Like, trying to determine if SG-1 is going to lose her memories.
Yeah.
Before they get a solution for everyone else losing their memories.
Yeah,
and but there's barely and they get an everyone's AB memories story back
this time around.
Yeah, so, but nope, we don't get that in this one.
Yeah, so we learned that the Neelix was more than a year ago.
Yeah, and there's no children and there's no old people. It's just like middle-aged people.
Yeah,
that's all. That's
pretty much. Yeah, there's some speculation about the mass amnesia event, and Jack says so. Everybody on this planet took a hit to the head.
Yeah.
Well. And it's interesting. There's this little scene where they asked Carter Wiki and Tilk Wiki, but neither one has an entry for it.
Which is weird.
They're like, we don't know what have crossed this. Yeah, and this is that. The elders are missing, the children are missing, but there's also no photos of children. Which is interesting. And then they say, oh, you must see Kira. She's the Minister of Health, Science, and Restructuring of the Bias Transitional Government.
So
super interesting.
Apparently they remember one thing.
Well, I mean, they remember what's happening now, turns out.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, it's been a year, so okay, fair.
Yeah,
I'm being overly critical of that part. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they go to meet Kira.
Yeah, and we go to the hospital.
Yeah, and. She's like helping someone, and then
That woman is going into anaphylactic shock, and she treats her with some root something or flower or something. I don't remember. It was like something.
And that's okay. We've got a problem here, and the problem is, like, I'm watching the episode, and the stuff that I'm watching, it's like. Yeah, okay, so things are happening. I'm not hooked on the episode yet.
No, but here is where Kira then turns around, and we see her for the first time in her full glory with the gloriously bad wig.
So it's a wig.
Yes, it is a wig, and it is so bad that it became notorious amongst fans, and is often cited as the worst SG-1 wigs ever. So poor actress had to wear this really bad wig. Probably wasn't fun.
It's a really bad wig.
Yes.
It's actually distracting.
It is. The entire episode is like, and I could not, like, I couldn't just not unsee it. Like, you see it and you're like, oh my god.
And now, okay, so now knowing it's actually a wig, it makes the scenes that she has with Daniel later on hurt.
Okay. Not that. Okay. Yeah. But
I'll dive more into that when we get to those scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, but so they do another round of intros, and someone mentions something about the doctor, and she's like, "Oh, we need doctors." And like Daniel's like, "A doctor of archaeology," and she's like, "Actually, that might also be helpful." Something
Well,
like that.
and considering the current state of their population, yes, that probably would be helpful.
And we learn as well that apparently Orner seems to think that Kira and him were husband and wife before the Neelix, but they don't remember exactly.
Yeah, and considering the way they bicker, it's plausible that they've been married for a long time
No,
if they
no,
were married.
Kira and Orner are like not the other woman and Orner. Those were bickering.
Oh my God. Okay, here's another problem I'm having with the episode.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not caring who some of these characters are.
Is that the other woman that has basically nothing useful to do or say and is just there? She's always there. That's it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, as I
That's
said.
right. Kira has the bad wig and is the important person they needed to meet. Yeah, okay. That's so funny because from the moment he said that he thought he was married to her, in my mind,
You thought
that
it was
he
the other
was talking
woman.
about the other woman,
No, about
even though
Kira.
he
She
said Kira.
meant no no she Kira mentions that he because he's kind of lingering and like whatever and look like it throws looks and whatever and then he goes away and then Kira mentions it to SG-1 basically. So that's how we
Oh,
learn.
yeah. Okay. I don't even remember that. I mean, I
It was a
remember there
little
was
thing.
the whole
It was a
thing,
little
but
thing that
yeah.
then pays off towards the end, ish, if you can call it a payoff, because it's kind of not really useful information, but not in any
Yeah.
useful way it pays off, but at least there's a little reference that you
Okay,
get
that's
to it
fair.
later.
You're right. We do finally get a payoff on that.
I said payoff in air quotes. Yeah, so we go to the library.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like books piled everywhere. People are going, well, people. Kira and SG-1, they're going through all these books.
Yeah, she Kira
And
mentions that she spent every or she does spend every waking hour at the library trying to learn as much as she can.
which, I mean,
Again.
this seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Again, to be fair. And I think Jack or someone says, "Oh, it looks like your society and your like everything's working fine." And she's like, "No, on the contrary, sir, we're falling apart. Industry and agriculture and bios has come to a halt, and when winter comes, it will be disastrous, nothing less." And I can imagine that. I mean, just think about it. Let's imagine everybody in the world all of a sudden loses their memories. We
Right.
don't
I mean,
know
yes, that's
anything, like how
legit.
to make anything, how to build anything, do any job. Like, we don't know anything.
Except how to fly dirigibles. Because we see those flying around.
It's true. Maybe someone figured it out again, but yeah. But it's like, I mean,
They're
that
like,
is, I
look what
think
I can do. Yeah.
that would be disastrous. I mean, like, it's like
Oh, yeah.
nobody knows how to drive or harvest or plant or do anything. Like, build things, make things, destroy things, take away trash, like all of it. Like, think about it. Every little thing. Nobody remembers. So sure, you can start to figure it out, but it's like that's like someone from the Stone Ages comes to our society and then has to figure out how the toilets work. It's like, yeah, we
Yeah,
might
it.
maybe figure it out eventually, but
Well, I mean, if they can read, they can figure things out faster.
yeah, that's
Hope,
why they're reading
assuming
a
they find the
lot.
right books.
Yeah,
Yeah.
hopefully, yeah, that's probably faster, but is that fast enough? Like, if you have to basically. You have to learn from, like, start from zero, basically, learn everything from scratch, and do that in a lot of time, in a little time. And some people probably have, like, studied and worked and practiced for decades.
Right. Yeah. And they don't know who they are or what they know
Yeah, exactly. Or what they used to know, or what they used
or
to
what they
do.
used to know. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can imagine it. Yeah, so isn't that? So that's an interesting thing to say. Like, okay, what if like that happened? Shit. So someone mentioned the word Stargate in their research. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And she has a quote from that, from one of the books. I wrote it down. It's like, our visitor claims to have come via us from beyond the stars themselves. So I still cannot comprehend the science behind the Stargate device she claims to have used. I have studied this device since, but I have been unable to activate it. That's something someone wrote, some researcher, that she found.
Now, okay, so now as soon as we have this mm-hmm. line, mm-hmm. I'm immediately thinking, okay, this
was the she, could she's be the she.
Linnea.
I remember that
they're referencing Linnea.
I did not put that together immediately. But I mean, I put more together that Kira might be the she.
And so I didn't put that together immediately. Mm-hmm. So you probably put that part together before I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't that far behind you.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. as soon as they started talking about their visitor from the Stargate, she, and you know, at that point, I'm like, well, we know one she that went through the Stargate, and we don't know where she went.
That's true, because the other she that went to the Stargate was killed.
Right. Yeah. Jack threw her into the
yes
cryogenic
yeah,
tank.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the visitor, the she, is mentioned a lot. We learn, and Kira knows that she was somewhat of an like apothecary, and mm-hmm. that she did not survive the Warlicks, because they found the bodies of an elder woman and a man were discovered some days later in a building destroyed by explosion. The only remains of our elders we have found. We deduced the male must have been Dr. Service. So I think that's the doctor where we read the notes from before. And the female matches what little description he gave in his notes of the visitor. And then we get the dun-dun-dun reveal.
Right.
The name of the woman, and I quote, she calls herself Linnea.
And yeah, so by the time they tell us her mm-hmm. name's Linnea, I already mm-hmm. knew they were going to tell us that. Yeah.
Okay. You had figured and, it out.
Yeah. But, mm-hmm. you know, they dropped enough clues right away
mm-hmm.
so that I'm like, oh, they're talking about Linnea. And mm-hmm. then they start talking about other things like apothecary. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. At this point, it's pretty clear. Yeah.
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 We do get a really nice visitor next.
I really liked the part where mm-hmm. Dr. Fraser shows up in her mm-hmm. field gear.
Mm-hmm.
And,
with a team and everything.
Yeah. This is not the first time we've seen her off-world.
Nope.
But it's a treat when we do. This yeah, is she what, second, really maybe ever, third time?
I think it's the second time. We know there was a time before, but I think it's not shown. I think it's so the third.
She went to the planet where they found Cassandra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. And then I think, was it the planet with the naked people? Didn't she go there? There was one more.
After. Right. Yes. The naked people planet.
Yeah. So this should be third.
So third. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see that Dr. Fraser gets to leave the lab.
the basement.
Fourth. This is her fourth time.
This is the fourth?
Because, okay. Yes, because last episode, she was at Shari's funeral.
Ah, okay. Okay, so then it's at least fourth. Okay. Huh, cool. Okay. The fourth time she was let out of the basement.
Well, you know, I'm glad they let her out every now and then.
Yes. Yes. I don't remember what she says. It's not super important. She's like, oh, we're going to do testing and figure out what's going on, basically.
I think this is the part where she says, actually, I'm assuming I'm ahead of myself, but I think this is where she says they can do a lot of work here, mm-hmm. but it would be faster if she took people back to the to SG command. I'm ahead of myself, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Well, at least I'm on brand.
By 2 minutes, probably.
Well, you know.
I don't remember. She says she's going to do some testing, and then we go to the library, and then she will come into that library later, and that's when she will talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, but first she has to draw blood and do testing locally first. So
right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then in the library, this is where, since we don't have an exposition room, the library is kind of serving as that. So we are being fed backstory through there, and I'm doing our quotes research.
Yes. Yeah, and there's an interesting thing that happens here. So Daniel and Kira are doing research together, so they're sitting at a table. And there's some speculation about, oh, maybe it's a chemical. And she actually already thinks so. Because she says, yes, I first believed this Dargal was related to our loss of
memory. Dargal or something?
Yeah, something like that. Was related to our loss of memory, much the same way. And I think Daniel mentioned something about, what was it? There was some Earth thing that's very similar. Blanking on it now. Don't remember. But anyway, she says, there's little evidence of it. I found residue only in the bodies of those who have died since the Neelix. Right?
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. And I don't remember what the compound on Earth was called, the Daniel.
Oh, DDT.
DDT, thank you. Yes. Yeah. And she does mention another thing. She says, sometimes the images of people in the archives look familiar to me. I wonder if I knew this person or that person. There's still so many questions, like why are there no images of children and where have our elders gone? Through Stargate, perhaps? And there's one thing I wanted to mention here. I don't know if you caught that as well. There is definitely chemistry between Kira and Daniel in this situation and later, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a hinted thing at this point, but yeah, that you pick up on it.
Yeah. They were deliberately shot in a some little bit warmer lighting to build this romantic connection between the two. A little bit closer shots, a little bit more intimate situations, basically. So that was a deliberate decision to show it that way.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't remember why that was, but Jack basically says, I was just thinking about amnesia. It doesn't quite track with Linnea's nickname. I think it's Carter, Teal'c, and Sam sitting in a separate table a little bit away, and they're speculating about Linnea and if she caused this. And I think Jack was thinking, I don't think that's her style, but Carter says, well, actually, it's kind of in a sick way. It does. Kira said herself their society was on the verge of collapse. Despite the efforts, this world is in trouble. So in a sick way, maybe she took advantage of that, right?
That would be very Linnea.
Yeah. And Carter, I think, also says SGC, also Stargate Command, is responsible for Linnea being there. Because they freed her, right? And because of that, they will find a way to help that planet. So they're sticking around.
So what I remember from that whole thing is they're having this discussion, and then suddenly Sam goes, oh, look, I found her diary.
Exactly. That's literally what happens that exact second. So they found her diary. And then Fraser comes in, and she's done some testing, and she's like, yeah, but this dark oil thing that could be related. We found some evidence of that. And that's where what you mentioned, where she says, like, I could go now back and forth and do some testing here and go back to Earth and whatever. But it would just be so much easier if we could just take a couple people there and go back and do the testing in our labs. And Kira, ever helpful as she is like, oh, I think I can help. Take me with you.
Yeah, and at this point, I'm suddenly feeling that spider sense tingling mm-hmm. a little bit. Like, I need to be suspicious.
Yes. Yeah. It's very, she's quite pushy to say, oh, take me with you.
Yeah. And, but our other two people,
mm-hmm.
of course, since we've already been introduced to them, mm-hmm. that's who will have to come along.
Yes. So Carter and Teal go through first to show that it's safe. And then Ornor, the woman, the other woman, and Kira step through with Daniel. So, there's a funny thing when they come through on the other side. Because Ornor...
Yes, bickering couple.
Our bickering couple, Ornor says, am I in one piece? And she, like, the other woman, the bickering side, like, she responds, yes, Ornor, one skinny little piece. So yeah, there's also interesting, like, formal stuff with Hammond, like introductions and stuff, and off to the infirmary, so. And Hammond yeah. stays back with Jack. And he has a good question.
Oh, right.
He's like,
yeah. Like, what happens if we can't actually help these people?
Yeah.
And Jack is like, who knows?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I mean, the answer mm-hmm. is if you can't help them and they're stuck with amnesia,
mm-hmm.
then the United States government at that point, because of Stargate Command's activities, should send resources through the Stargate mm-hmm. people and whatever else they need, medical supplies and food, and train these people how to use their society, which actually would have been an interesting thing to mm-hmm. have happen in this episode.
Do you really think that would have happened?
No, of course not.
Because the government would have been, no, why do we care about people on another planet? Especially like higher up.
But then but that could have made for an interesting episode mm-hmm. while mm-hmm. SGC is fighting with the federal government mm-hmm. about our responsibility to these people mm-hmm. and then having to come to terms with the fact that we caused this problem and we're not going to do anything to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It could have been, but no.
You know, I think we're on the path to a better version of this episode already.
Maybe, yes. So we go to the infirmary, right?
Oh, right. Okay. And now we get, thanks to a couple little brightly colored images,
mm-hmm.
an explanation. So we have a place to start. We have a premise for mm-hmm. fixing the problem. Mm-hmm. And it's the blue dots in people's heads.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so there's like some science-y talk about hippocampus sections and blah, blue dots and all of that. But at the end of the day, the summary is there's a possibility the memories aren't actually gone. They're just not accessible.
Right, because you can tell that from mm-hmm. that little picture.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, we still today don't, as far as I know at least, don't know whether if we forget something, we actually forget it, or whether it's just not accessible. It's still stored somewhere in our brain, but it's just not accessible.
Well, they should have asked Doc Fraser because she knew.
She knew, that's true. Yeah. And then,
yeah.
But she needs time, right? So Daniel will give Kira the 50-cent tour. Whatever that is.
And Kira doesn't bother to ask, what does that mean?
I mean, do you know what that means?
I do. I've also heard it called the nickel tour. So it's like, instead of like a proper tour of something, mm-hmm. someone is just showing around quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like a half-assed tour of of a place.
So why is Daniela giving her only the half-assed tour and not the proper tour? It's not as if they have anything else to do.
I'm assuming it's being used as a turn of phrase and not like a joke. He's not really giving her a half-assed tour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we find out that's not the tour she wants.
Mm-hmm. So she wants to go to the surface. And
Daniel's like, nope, that's not yet. Not happening.
Yeah.
But I'll take you to your room.
Mm-hmm. And the room even has clothes for her.
Right. And and he points out that the clothes is there. And she's like, mm-hmm. oh. Is what I'm wearing bad?
Yeah, she says, is my clothing unsuitable?
Yeah. And she's totally flirting with him now.
100% hitting
And him. Hitting on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's an explanation about it that she gives. She's like, since the Warlicks, close contact has become almost taboo. We were afraid that if we were ever to be able to regain our memories... And Daniel completes, of course, because men can't have women finish their sentences. So he has to jump in and say, you would find yourself waking up beside the wrong person. Because she couldn't say that mm-hmm. herself, right? And,
right. Yeah.
She says, you are not from Vias. So basically implying that.
That he'd be safe for her because mm-hmm. he can't be the wrong person.
Yeah. But then Daniel says, he's kind of babbling with this one. He's like, I'm finding myself very, very, but the fact is I've only just recently lost my wife and she doesn't say anything. And he's like, that's not actually totally true. I mean, I actually really lost her a long time ago. And the fact, it keeps babbling. The fact is, I don't think right now I would trust myself to completely to blah, 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 whatever. And she just kisses him.
And so now we start a new problem for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in the last episode, Daniel is... no longer has that connection
mm-hmm.
with Cherie, where he feels an obligation to stay true to her, mm-hmm. even though he's not with her.
Yeah. I mean, she's dead.
And now she's dead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that puts him on the market, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And next episode, we have Kira kissing him and we're having this whole little romantic scene and we get a couple more scenes and I'm like, oh, come on. Is he supposed to be like Captain Kirk and have a different lady on every planet now? Is that where they're going with this? And I was actually really annoyed with the scene because I'm like, come on, we do not need that trope.
Yeah, maybe.
But also the wig. Oh my god. The wig. So distracting in these scenes.
Yes. It's funny. So yeah, they kiss and then they separate and then they kiss again. Kind of that.
Yeah.
So we go back to the lab.
Right. And we find out that I think Sam got more information mm-hmm. from her research.
Yes.
And Linnea was working on anti-aging drugs.
Yeah. So Linnea found a link between the Darth Vader. No, I don't know what. Darwin.
She found a link between the Darth Vader drug.
Yeah, and longevity. It was slowing down the aging process. But they stopped using it over 20 years ago because it was adversely affecting their fertility rates.
So now we know why there's no kids.
Yeah. So Linnea was actually trying to make herself young again. And she was experimenting on two elders, a male and a female. And that's where her journal ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it turned. I think we know where this goes, but if it's not obvious, then they tell us there was a lab accident and the population became young again.
Mm-hmm.
And the fountain of youth worked, but the amnesia was kind of a side effect.
Right. So, so what we know now is that Linnea's plan worked.
Mm-hmm.
With an unforeseen side effect.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get the setup.
Mm-hmm.
For what you have already figured out by this point.
Yes.
and I was fast behind you.
Yes.
And we get the ham-fisted foreshadowing from Jack. Mm-hmm. He's like, wait, Linnea's dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you haven't figured it out yet, you know for sure where they're going with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carter says, well, you know, the two bodies that Kira found, really, if they were really the Vian elders that Linnea was experimenting on, and she is now young again, I mean, you would probably not recognize her. Yeah, where I'm like... Maybe.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you can still recognize them at different points in their life.
Yeah. And I mean,
but I get the premise that they're going for here.
Yeah, it had to be for this episode. But I'm like, you know, I mean, one, Linnea was not ancient. He was like, not like 150 and like all of that. She was still relatively young, right? I mean, maybe, I don't know, in her 60s, maybe?
Yeah.
So I'm like, 60s. and now she's maybe 30-ish, I would guess. Something like that.
30-ish and presumably bald.
Yeah, that's why she needs a better week. Yeah, that's true. So I'm like, that's not so far apart that you couldn't recognize her at all.
Right, but for the premise of this mm-hmm. episode to work,
yeah,
she has to look radically different in her youth compared to her 60s in prison.
Yeah, and Jack puts it together, but he doesn't want to hear it. So he puts it, it's really funny. He puts the fingers in his ears and sings la 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 la.
I did like that.
Yeah, but of course Carter cuts through the bullshit, and she's like, "Well, sir, you know." She has the knowledge of chemistry, the medical skills, all of that. And she pulls a stick. She literally pulls his like hands away from the ears. And she says, I think we at least have to face the possibility that Kira is Linnea.
Right. Which means it's time to go visit the exposition room.
Yeah, our favorite room of all time.
Right. And here... If you hadn't figured it out already, they spoon feed it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Kira is Linnea.
Yeah. DNA matches.
Yeah. And Daniel goes to her defense.
Mm-hmm.
While everyone else is like, okay, this changes a lot. Mm-hmm. And we have to be very careful. And Daniel's mm-hmm. like, hey, no, she's fine. That chick can kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he didn't say that part, but... It's clear his judgment is being clouded by his hormones.
Yeah. Okay, that was a nice way of saying it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a different body part in mind, but okay.
No, I know where you were going, and that is absolutely fair.
Yeah, he does have a, let's say, minimal point though. which is the interesting bit that we get
yes here. And that it, and this to me is one of the most interesting parts mm-hmm. of the entire episode. Mm-hmm. You know when Daniel says to Jack, who do you trust most to with your life mm-hmm. out of everyone in the whole world? And then he makes a joke, I won't be offended if you don't pick me.
Yeah.
But could it be Teal'c? Mm-hmm. And the point is that, and he even brings it up, Teal'c, what did you used to do? Mm-hmm. And Teal'c's like, well, I was a Bofus's prime.
Yeah.
And killed people. And he did horrible things. Mm-hmm. And he's not that person now. And Daniel's argument is, with the amnesia, Kira is not Linnea. Mm-hmm. And this to me is like the real interesting nugget in the whole mm-hmm. episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole question of if you don't remember what you did and you're really are a different person, different personality now, and you have different goals and whatever, is what happened in the past still your responsibility? Or is that a different person now?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question.
Should you judge a person just like in that situation? Should you judge a person for something that they don't even remember doing?
Yeah.
And probably wouldn't do, at least as far as you know.
Right. But at least everyone else is mm-hmm. using their big head to think in this situation. Okay. And everyone else besides Daniel is like, you know, we need to have guards on her all the time.
Yeah. Hammond says, I think it would be prudent to keep her confined to her quarters until we can resolve the Vinus medical crisis. Colonel O'Neill, and he points, like he really says O'Neill, like, specifically, mm-hmm. perhaps you could inform her.
And Daniel's like,
nope, I'll go.
Pick me.
I'll go, I'll do it.
Yeah. And so, of course, Daniel wants to go because, mm-hmm. Anyhow, mm-hmm. so he goes to visit her, tells her that she has to stay in her quarters. They're not going to let her out.
Yeah, yes. Quarantine procedures.
Yeah, quarantine procedures. We're quarantining a homicidal sociopath mm-hmm. that just happens to be who you used to be.
Yeah, he doesn't say that.
But he doesn't tell her that part.
Yeah.
And,
but he does hint
at... But he does say...
Yeah.
Yeah, you say it because you probably have the correct words. Where yes. I'm just going to paraphrase something. I mean, remember, I'm the guy that's already talking about Darth Vader and Neelix for elements of this episode.
Yeah, he says, I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you that more happened during the Neelix at Horlix than just losing your memories. Yeah, so hint.
Yeah. And
unfortunately it's not going so well in the lab. I mean, for Daniel it's going swimmingly, but for others it's not.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, Daniel's having a great time. Mm-hmm. Doc Fraser not so much.
Yeah, she's exhausted. And,
I mean, well, she's trying to solve a planet-wide problem. Mm-hmm. And she needs to solve it right now, because as we've established, these people are on a hard deadline to figure out who they are so they can get their society jump-started again before winter.
Yeah, exactly. Jack comes in and he's like, oh my, there's a distinct lack of optimism in this room.
That's so Jack.
Jack. Yeah, but as he said, like it could, I mean, I think Fraser paints it out, it could take years, but they have... like very little time. And that's where they come to the conclusion that Kira maybe could help.
Yeah. But it's a point of contention because mm-hmm. they know she's Linnea. Mm-hmm. And so how do you balance that with her ability to potentially help in this situation?
Yeah. And I have that verbatim because that's a really interesting interaction between Hammond and Fraser and O'Neill. Fraser says to Hammond, "I don't like the idea any more than you," or I think to Hammond. "But without her knowledge of biochemistry, especially the residual Darth Vader, Dargle, I don't know if we can reverse the effects and the amnesia in time to prevent a catastrophe and bias." And Hammond says, "Doctor, you're asking me to allow a known homicidal maniac to work with potentially lethal substances." And Fraser says, "Yes, sir." "With all due respect, Daniel might be right. Kira may be an entirely different person than Linnea, without the memories that made her the person she was." And that's where Jack jumps in. He's like, "Excuse me, amnesia check, destroyer of worlds." Like, so he's like, "Have we forgotten?" And Carter comes, and that's, I really like that. Carter comes to her, to Kira's like defense, because she says, "Kira wants nothing more than to help her people. Now, as long as she doesn't take the antidote that she comes up with, that should be okay, right?"
So,
but Jack says, Jack says, "I think a precaution or two might be in order."
Yeah, and Jack is very right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they agree. Hammond agrees. Right, it's like, sounds like a good idea, but ultimately it's also Fraser and Carter and I think everybody agrees that they need her help. If they want to solve it in no time, little time, they do need her help.
Yeah, so they decide, great, we'll bring in the destroyer of worlds. What could possibly go wrong? And she gets to work with Dr. Fraser, and Dr. Fraser, she's commenting on how Linnea, well, Kira is her knowledge level is so far beyond anyone else they know. It's just like amazing what she can do.
Yeah. So they come up with something.
Right. And she volunteers herself as the test subject.
Exactly. And they're like, not a good idea. And they come up with some reason where it's like, but what if like something is wrong, then you can't fix it and whatever. But in reality, we know, I don't want her to take it simply.
Right. And so Orner's like, okay, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And it does not go well.
No.
He dies, but they bring him back to life, and his memory's not there.
Yeah,
it's like Kira's I miscalculated.
Yeah,
but I know what I did wrong.
I wrote the comment down that it's like Fraser is about to use the back to life machine.
Yeah,
but he doesn't. Oh my god, that's
fantastic.
He does not. This is not
the first time she's used a back to life machine.
That's true. Yeah. As you said, she miscalculated, but she will wants to try again immediately.
Now, this scene, when that played out, I'm like, oh, yes, they're paralleling what happened right before her journal ends. Mm-hmm. She killed these two people and then realized, I know where I miscalculated. I'll fix it and we'll do it again. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
I had not put that together, but you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was like, that's what's going on here.
Yeah. So back to her quarters with her, and then she wants to speak to Daniel alone.
Yeah. And so.
She's not stupid. She figured out.
She's that, not.
No. She figured out that they believe she's Linnea.
And Daniel's like, you got us. And by the way, you actually are.
Yes.
But no, then he also says, but you're also not.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're a different person now.
Kira's wonderful. As long as you remain that person, that will never change. And Kira is like, you're telling me that I will never be able to take the antidote. I would never harm anyone, Daniel. Do you believe me? And it's a really sweet moment. He's like, yeah, I do. But I think he also knows Linnea.
Yeah, the Linnea danger is too great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. I like the crap. So we have two scenes here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember which order they come in. There's one where they're running more tests.
That's the second one.
And they've come up with this. Okay, so then it's the one where Jack has to come to Jesus with Daniel. And he's like, hey, I know where you're dipping your wick, and it's dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah, he waits for Daniel in the hallway. And when Daniel then comes out of Linnea, he knows where Daniel is, like, with Linnea.
Yeah, Jack's no fool. He knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, and he says, like, listen, I'm not saying the first woman you've fallen for since Sherry isn't the peach. But if she remembers who she is, you'll be the first to go.
Yeah, and that's a legit concern.
And he's not wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so now we go off for more testing.
Yes, exactly.
And Kira, this time she's got her serum right.
Yeah, they did some testing.
And then Sam's like, okay, you can leave now.
Yeah, they're like, we'll take it from here. We don't need you anymore. And she's like, but can I like at least observe? And they kind of begrudgingly were like, okay. But she does, and this is important, she does swipe one of the slides with the serum.
Yeah. And that was a horrible security fail on their part.
It's so bad. It's like so obvious that she does it, and like nobody even seems to care.
And they left all of this stuff out within her reach. And but they do the test on Oren.
Mm-hmm.
And he does have some seizures and stuff, but then he's okay.
But not as bad as before.
Right. And he doesn't die.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
And his memory comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his name is Nodal, actually, not Oren.
Mm-hmm. And so this addresses one of the issues I was having earlier, mm-hmm. which is, how do these people know who they are? Like, did they find IDs in their pockets?
No, the answer is
they didn't. They just made up new names for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it turns out the woman that he's been bickering with this whole time actually is his wife.
Yes. So we get what we mentioned before, the payback kind of the earlier comment that Kira might be Oren's or Nodal's wife actually. So that whole thing apparently turned out to be not true.
Yeah, but the fact that the woman that's hanging out with him all the time and that he bickers with all the time does turn out to be his wife, I mean, it's kind of an obvious joke, but it's a nice payoff and a little bit funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. And then Onar or Nodal, Oren, Nodal wants Kira to take the antidote.
And she's like, yeah, ask these people, but yeah, no.
I cannot. They will explain. And she goes back to the quarters, and Daniel is on her coattails, whatever you want to call it.
Yes. And she asks Daniel, like, what happens if I don't take the antidote? Mm-hmm. And Daniel says, well, I'll vouch for you. You can probably just go back and be part of society.
Yeah. And he will ask them about this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then we get what is absolutely not a surprise on any level, yet is supposed to be a big reveal.
Yeah.
Because she says all debts have been paid, which is how Linnea wrapped up her appearance in season two.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, there we go. We knew that was happening.
We knew that it was, I mean, we knew that she probably took it. Like, we knew that she had the slide. We knew that she took it. And this was kind of the obvious thing. The one thing
that was... And it was a stupid, ham-fisted statement. It didn't fit with the rest of the conversation, I thought. It just, it felt like a line that was in there.
Yeah, to make it obvious what happened. But
to make it obvious.
Yeah, but what I liked was that I thought Daniel would be so, like, blind, rose-colored glasses and everything, that he wouldn't even notice. And he didn't, like, at first, the first second, like, he started, like, walking away. But then he turns around because he realizes what she just said and rushes back. She plays dumb. He's like, you said all debts have now been paid. That was the message Linnea left behind. And she's like, was it? And he's like, did you take the antidote? Antidote. And she's like, well, I had to know, Daniel. I didn't believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she says, I'm not Kira, am I? I am the murderer that you said I was. And Daniel says, no, you're not. And she's like,
you're a good kisser. You're not that.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out that she took more than like the little slide. She's like, I only need to smash these vials together to create a poisonous gas that will fill this room. Well, turns out she actually wants to kill herself. That is a little bit of a surprise because I don't think Linnea would have
done that. That was a surprise.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want him to be here. Like, she's like, go so I can kill myself.
Yeah, it's... this for me was interesting because I actually wasn't expecting that. Mm-hmm. But then also the idea that she has all of her memories back. She knows who she is and who she was.
But she also knows what she's turned into.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she doesn't want to be what she was, and so she wants to make sure that can't happen. Mm-hmm. But I think for her, this is also a penance for her past crimes.
Yeah, yeah. But Daniel's like, you will have to kill me too. I'm staying. We get a little. Frasier notices that a vial and an ampule are missing, and they rush out. And then we go back to the quarters. And there's a really nice interaction because she says, I deserve to die. And Daniel says, I don't believe that. And she says, you don't understand. There's a part of me that cares for you, Daniel, more than I've ever cared for anyone I've ever known. But there's also another part of me that would gladly watch you die.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's when Jack rushes in.
And he pulls out his gun and he says, stop or I'm shooting the wig.
And she says, like, there's two people inside of me and one of them is a monster. In time, she will win. Kind of parallel to the Gore world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Daniel is still like, you won't hurt me because there's another way, Kira. And she screams at him. She's like, I am not her. I am not Kira. And Daniel says, no, you're not. But you can be her again. You can forget. All you have to do is forget.
And so the implication here is take the Darth Vader again. Yes. Lose your memory.
Yeah. And then
it's a fresh start.
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently that's what she does.
Yeah. And so I like the explanation we get for how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're told that she actually helped with the process to synthesize the drug to take her memory away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. They say it in the gate room. Like, so we get first the infirmary where she wakes up and she doesn't remember a thing. And she, like, get introduced to your Kira and whatever, like, your best friends, all of that.
You're an important person in our society.
Yeah.
And which that. I don't think they should have told her that. Mm. They should have just said, you're Kira, you're our friend.
Yeah, exactly. But then in the gate room before they leave, like, Lael, which is apparently the woman's name that I have in the notes now, that it's not just a woman, I think it's never mentioned, but in here it says it. She says, she did this willingly. And Carter says, yes, with her help, and that's what you meant. We were able to synthesize a small amount of the enhanced Darth Vader that caused the Neelix and reintroduced it into her bloodstream. And her memory is gone again. And then at that point, Kira is let in by Daniel. He explains everything.
Yeah, and she says, I feel like we've known each other for a while. And he says, no, we have not.
We never did. Goodbye. I'm not sure she believes him.
So there's a couple things that I'm thinking as this episode is wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
She helps synthesize the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And she is super smart. Mm-hmm. She could synthesize something that works temporarily and could become Linnea again, like intentionally doing that. Then the Linnea part.
But I don't
does that.
I don't think. She, I mean, could she? Yes. I don't think she would, because she wanted to kill herself. That was the whole thing. She wanted to kill herself, and the way out was to forget. So remembering again is kind of the opposite of what she wants.
Right. And so that was the other part that was running through my mind. Also, while they could have left this open in some way so that we could potentially come back to this planet and these people in the future, the way this wrapped up, what it told me was, this is done and over. We will never hear another word about this planet and Linnea again. I mean, yeah, I guess there could be like some reference like, well, you remember the problem we had with Linnea, but like at this point, I don't expect we're going to see or hear from these people ever again.
I'm not going to tell you one way or another.
And that's good because if we see them again, I want to fully experience the emotional roller coaster of knowing that it has been recorded and broadcast out there that I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, I want to mention like one last thing, because she like they all three hand in hand walk up to the gate. Basically, it's all it's been dialed and they're about to leave, and she turns around and smiles at Denny.
It's kind of reminiscent of the way she walked through the gate at the end of the episode in season 2, because she stops and looks back at everyone and then goes through the gate.
Yeah, but in this case, she looks specifically at him. And I think the implication being she doesn't believe him that they knew each other well. Like he lied to her and she can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate assessment.
Yeah, and then they go through.
Yeah, and the end.
The end.
So, what did you think?
I mean, I actually think that despite everything we've talked about, like the many little things, I kind of like the story. It's kind of, I mean, the whole thing about... about like memory loss, and if you lose the memory of the bad things you've done, are you a different person? Are you still responsible for it? Like all of that. I think it's an interesting question to ponder. Flaws, mm-hmm. yes, everywhere, bad wakes fun, like to make fun of and all of that. But I think it's an interesting question in general, and also the whole thing about what if an experiment goes so wrong that like you basically destroy your society. Right? That is a risk. Yeah. And it's a risk that a lot of science has to take, right? Sometimes. I mean, you mm-hmm. take precautions and everything, which she didn't, because she was Linnea and she didn't care about killing people. But it's something you have to deal with and say, well, there is a danger. So I liked it. Is it the best ever? No. It is interesting. I liked it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was not complex. Other than that, like the no B story.
No, it was not complex.
Quite straightforward storytelling. But like I said, it has at least for once, like there's an episode that has an interesting question that it asks. Probably, I mean, kind of also answers, right? Because at the mm-hmm. end, they decide, no. She is not the same person. And she is not the same person. She even shows it, like, once she regains her memories, she shows she is not the same person.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And seeing how she does not want to risk becoming what she was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is so adamant that she cannot become what she was.
Yeah.
She's willing to take her own life.
Mm-hmm. To prevent that from happening. Ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I mean, at the end, she helps delete her own memories. Literally.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, yeah, it said, not the best ever, but an interesting question to ask and to ponder. So yeah, I liked it. It's fun, also fun story, like entertaining at least. Even if you just watched the bad wig.
Oh, the wig.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. So I liked the premise.
Mm-hmm.
I had issues with the execution.
Mm-hmm.
In a few points, I thought there were some really good elements in here.
Yeah.
And I felt like the way this episode coming immediately after Cherie's mm-hmm. death episode.
Yeah.
It felt to me like Cherie is killed off so that we can have Daniel be the romantic character in the show, and he's going to be like Captain Kirk and have an alien affair on every planet.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, I don't expect that he's going to have a girlfriend of the week every no. single week moving forward.
He's not the person.
But I am concerned that mm-hmm. this is going to be a recurring thing where.
Yeah.
Where there's a woman on a planet and Daniel falls for her, and then we have that whole thing.
Maybe. Do you really believe that Daniel is the type of person for that?
No.
Okay.
But they also just wrote this for Daniel
yeah.
to do anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a concern that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many seasons left to see whether or not I'm right
mm-hmm.
or wrong. And what I'm hoping is that I'm wrong
mm-hmm.
and that this happening when it did for me, it's like, yeah, this is just really bad timing for doing this immediately after mm-hmm. the Cherie episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really bad timing, but
yeah. Yeah, so, but I also feel like this episode really does completely wrap up the Linnea thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's just over this planet. We're done with that,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Yeah.
but overall, I was having a hard time getting like really deep into the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy it, but it didn't draw me in the way some others have.
Yeah. So how many chevrons would you give it?
It's a 5 for me.
It's a 5. Okay. Hmm. Interesting. I would have expected more of a 6 from you, to be honest.
You know, if they had done some other things with the story, then yeah, it would have been a 6. Mm. But there were enough points in the episode where I had to stop and try and figure out, wait, what have I missed? Not because it was too complicated, but because I wasn't paying attention anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of torn between a 5 and 6, to be honest, because on one hand I'm like, I kind of enjoyed it and it was a fun story,
sure,
and some good questions asked, so it's a 6, but on the other hand I'm like, it's not so special.
It's not a special episode, that's true. But and it's not as solid as some other episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still, it's a solid episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And since we're going to 8, I think I'm going to stick with my 6. Like, I was like, this is okay. Maybe a 5. I think it's borderline 6. Like, it's definitely not a solid, super clear 6, but it's also, yeah, I'll give it a just nudged over the line to give it a 6.
You know, I have a feeling that had this episode not done the Daniel romantic thing, and to be clear, I don't have a problem with romantic stuff and relationships happening in the episodes. It's just the way this happened immediately after the Cherie episode. Mm-hmm. It felt like, okay, they killed off Cherie, so we could do this sort of thing with the Daniel character.
Yeah.
And I was kind of put off by that. Mm-hmm. If that hadn't been a thing, this probably would have been a 6 for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I get that. It's not a great look, but it didn't bother me too much. I didn't think about it. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I actually turned to my office manager out loud and went, oh, come on.
Yeah, anyway, should I tell you what the next episode is?
You should.
Good. So this next episode is part 1 of 2. So this is a 2-part episode that's coming up. It is Jolinar's memories.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Again, directed by Peter DeLuise. So.
Okay. Well, I have high expectations for this.
Yeah.
And so with the title. Of course, we're getting the Toker back for some interaction.
Mm-hmm. I think that's not a stretch based on the title.
That's not a stretch. So we get more Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And
we've had episode without Jacob. So
we have. And as I recall, I was actually disappointed and complained.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why'd they stop using the character?
Yeah.
But Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'll tell you, by the way, also the German title is literally the same. Jolinar's Erinnerung. So Jolinar's Memories.
Okay.
Again, no spoilers.
So so the thing is, how do Jolinar's Memories play in to this? I don't know.
We'll have to see.
I'm looking forward to seeing what that means. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I expect this is going to do more character building for Sam.
Mm-hmm. I think that is probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as I said, we'll have to wait and we'll have to see. We'll have to watch it and then come back.
Well, I am looking forward to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing it's a 2-parter, that tells me that the story is going to be more involved. And so that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be cool.
All right. Well, let's see if, I think I've been doing fives for episodes recently.
Yeah, but also we've had some episodes. So.
All right. So now it's up to Joel and R to get me to start throwing more chevrons at episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No pressure, Joel and R. All right. So I guess it's time for us to wrap up, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Well, then we should tell people where to find us. Mm-hmm. And I will start with how about email?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get a hold of us. So that would be hello@retrorewatch.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on social media, Mastodon. Retro Rewatch at techhangout.social.
Correct.
And then on Blue Sky, we're at retrorewatch.com.
Yes. You've not gone through the Vorlix.
I have not gone through the Neelix. Because I did not take the Darth Vader.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Patrice, mm-hmm. this has been so much fun. As always. Mm-hmm. When I say over and over that I really enjoy doing this mm-hmm. with you, I'm having so much fun. That's genuine. Mm-hmm. I am so glad we do this. Yeah. So, where can people find you?
Well, with you every week, almost every week on the British Tech Network, Big Show, Mac Show, Talk About Tech, and everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. How about you?
Awesome. Okay, so for me, Jay Gamut on the various mm-hmm. socials, and most of my stuff right now is showing up on Mastodon, Blue Sky, and PixelFed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll pick just a couple shows that I'm on, since the list is long. Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live and Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS.
Mm-hmm. Very cool shows.
But there's plenty more out there.
Mm-hmm.
Many of which you and I are on together.
Yep.
Which is cool. All right. So with that, Patrice, once again, this has been so much fun. I'm going to have the embarkation room close the iris for us so that we can get back to watching the next episode. And I'm looking forward to that too.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you everyone for joining us. See you next time.
Bye, Neelix.
Bye, Neelix.
Felix.